speaking today with Manuel Rodriguez, who is HISD trustee in District 3. Trustee Rodriguez, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Good morning.
You've been an HISD trustee for how many years now?
7 3/4.
All right.
At the end of this year, it'll be 8.
And, you know, what, when you look back at your two terms in HISD, what would you say is the most important things you've accomplished so far?
Well, personally, would be the implementation of grad labs. Dr. Terry Greer came in from San Diego, where he'd seen that working. I'd been asking for a credit recovery system here since about 2005, much to what we have in place now. But for whatever the reason, district administration, the board, didn't adopt it. And maybe they didn't know what I was talking about. Maybe I didn't push it far enough. But it's here now, and this year, over 800 students were able to graduate on time, being able to recover those courses that they had failed, say, in the 9th, 10th, or 11th grade. Also, the development of a seamless transition for dual credit. With the collaboration of then board member Deanna Davila and myself, we pushed the administration to bring together the HISD board with the HCC board to come together and talk about dual credits. We were having dual credits throughout the district, but they were hit and miss, very few numbers. Major complaint was that the HCC semester was only 140 days, and the HISD semester was 180 days. So who is going to pay for the extra time for the professors? How were the...
Do you need a menu?
Cinnamon sugar. How were the calendars going to fit? And so we brought the two boards together. It was something that both boards wanted to see accomplished. And so we named some point people to take care of the problems. And today we now have 5 early college high schools that devote themselves to dual credit. All our comprehensive high schools have dual credits in their schools now. But we have 5 dedicated to early college programming, which after 5 years, a student can graduate with their associate's degree before getting their high school diploma. And that is a 2-year financial free, non-expense to the family and to the student. So we're having very good results with that. I also, through the collaboration of the East End Chamber, Dr. Abe Saavedra, the Port of Houston, I was asked to facilitate a meeting to set up what was going to be the first time in history that the Port of Houston and HISD collaborated together to set up the maritime program at Austin High School and at Jack Gates. So, those are our 3 major, well, the 2 passages of the 2007 bond referendum of $805 million. Today in District 3, my district, we have 6 exemplary elementary schools, 11 recognized elementary schools, 4 academically acceptable. We have no academically unacceptable schools in District 3. Out of my 5 middle schools, 3 are recognized and 2 are academically acceptable. My 3 high schools, Chavez, Milby, and Mount Carmel, are all academically acceptable. I also help Mount Carmel Academy maintain its existence when the Catholic Diocese closed down Mount Carmel High School, which is a Catholic high school. The parents of the community came together in May, finding out that the school was going to be closed down, wanted to know what we could do to maintain that school intact. We had property in the neighborhood, and so with the help of the neighborhood, the community, and the district, we were able to open Mount Carmel Academy in August of that year.
Okay. And today, what do you see as being kind of the state of HISD, its challenges going forward?
Since coming on the board, I've always said that we've had a very dynamic board, a board that was ready for reform, and we've pushed forward with that reform. When Terry Gehr came on, he said the time for reform was over, that we needed to start doing transition. And so I see the district moving in a positive way. Sometimes, you know, they say chain is as strong as the weakest link. And so going to the Apollo program, that was the weakest link within HISD when prior to Terry Gehr coming on board. And I liken it to a bad car accident in which you're the driver. You have two broken legs, you have broken ribs, you have broken arms, broken clavicle, head contusions all over the place. But more and most prevalent is you've got a metal spear barb coming out of your chest with blood gushing. So how do you survive? Do you take care of the broken legs first and triage, or do you take care of the head contusions, or do you take care of the barb with the gushing blood in order for the body to survive? Had we not done anything with Apollo schools, they were the consistently low-performing schools for 3 years running academically unacceptable. The state was about to take over those schools if we did not do something about it. So the board was presented with a proposal by Terry Gehr. The board accepted his proposal, and we initiated the Apollo program so that we could hopefully turn around those low-performing schools. If we did not do something to change the way we did business in those schools, Houston could have lost its academic accreditation from TBA. So,
how would you assess the Apollo program, the Apollo 20 program?
It's a three-year program. The high schools and middle schools have had 1 year of implementation. This year, we've added 11 elementary schools. Hopefully, with the program implemented in the elementary schools, the kids at elementary level will be better prepared for middle school. The kids at middle school will be better prepared for high school. So the end result, it's a three-year program where we have to see the data at the end of 3 years to see how successful it has been. It has had success in some schools, and we've seen that it hasn't had success in others. So we're looking to see what has to be done in order to tweak the program.
The main criticism I've heard of it is that it's expensive and it's not something that can easily scale up to anywhere else in HISD.
This is not a program to be replicated in other schools. It is a program to be learned best practices, into which once these programs that have been initiated in the Apollo schools can see success, then we can see how we can maybe replicate some of the practices with less expense. Just like any test rocket, test plane, anything that you do the first time, it's always going to cost more. But the benefits may well exceed the initial expenses.
Okay. While you're talking about money, the legislature cut a bunch of money from public schools this year. How is that impacting HISD?
Well, the state has been running in a deficit of $5 billion since 2006 when it compressed its property rate. The legislature was supposed to replace that money that was compressed from the property owner and transfer it to a business fee, a business tax, to replenish the money that was cut from the budget. It never did. That business tax has never worked since 2006. And we keep seeing a reduction in tax revenue from businesses where businesses are fighting a tax increase. And so are property owners. But the deficit that we understand comes from the business tax that was never initiated correctly. And so this year we came to a head after last year's touting that we had surplus funds in our budget. Governor Perry and the legislature cut $4 billion out of education. And you know, we have the rainy day fund. The state rainy day fund is replenished every 2 years. We have a reserve in case of catastrophic occurrence where the reserve is used to be able to maintain the school system should our funding come to an end or be terminated for some reason. But it's only a fund that will maintain the district open for 2 to 3 months at maximum.
Okay. I mean, HISD had to make some cuts of its own, and there's going to be more coming next year. The board wound up having a little bit more money this year because you know, the budget that you were prepared for wound up being less draconian than what was actually passed. What's going to happen next year?
We're going to see. There was an article in the paper talking about all the waivers across the state of Texas. School classes, K through 5, that have more students than 20 than the accepted ratio of 1 to 22. We've seen positions cut as a magnet coordinator in a magnet school. The rationale was the school is recruiting at a sufficient rate to where it did not see the need of a magnet coordinator to go out and recruit kids to the magnet school. So as change occurs, as in households where due to the economy, hours have been cut back or the job has been lost, we're going to have to find ways in order to continue our life, continue education, a quality education for all our kids, but with less.
All right. And now HISD has the capability of raising its tax rates without having to call an election for that. Do you foresee the need for HISD to do that?
It has been a topic of conversation. As the board, we see that the responsibility of the state legislature is to fund public schools as called for by our Constitution. We have not increased, fortunately, HIG has not had to increase their tax base or their tax rate because of the double-digit appraisal inflation from 2000 to 2009. Our property within the city limits was being appraised at the double digits. And so the additional revenue of the higher appraisals have been able to bring in the funds to maintain that low tax base. If need be, if we find no other way to maintain our quality of education, yes, I would consider a tax rate increase.
All right. There's been, HISD did a study of magnet schools a few months ago. The report that was published came under a lot of criticism from parents about the changes that it wanted to make to magnet schools, consolidating, shutting some things down, changing the qualifications. Where do we stand on that, and what do you see as being needed for magnet schools?
There needs to be change done in magnet school programs. The policy right now, currently, because the new year, school year is coming into effect, magnet applications are going to be being accepted at the schools. I do not see any change for this coming school year into the magnet program. This is a proposition for the magnet committee, the policy committee, to study and make sure that the concerns of Houstonians are addressed, and try and make the best they can of the magnet program. We have one of the best magnet programs in the country. As one of my colleagues says, you know, if a magnet school is demagnetized, do we keep it magnet? So we need to look at our programs and make sure that what we're talking about in a magnet program is what we want for the city of Houston, for the district.
Okay. How would you assess Dr. Terry Greer in his term so far?
Again, I think the district is moving forward. As a sitting board member, and having his evaluation coming up, I cannot comment on my personal thoughts on his ability to run the district. I will put my feelings known in his evaluation, and depending upon the cumulative results of the evaluation, we'll see what the board's opinion is of Terry Greer.
Are there any concerns about HISD being able, and its students being able to meet the standards of the new STAR test?
Well, that's always a concern. The STAR test is going to be more difficult. The standards have been raised. We are gearing up, both teachers, administrators, and students, to be ready to take a more rigorous test. Instead of just having a one simple answer, the students will have to go through a series of steps to get the right answer on the STAR test. And so we applaud moving the minimum standards, which is what the tax was testing, minimum standards to a higher standard for the student, so that their critical thinking and problem-solving skills can be enhanced.
Has the state given the district the tools, resources it needs to enable the students to meet these new standards?
It is what it is.
All right, fair enough. Recently, HISD board, some members of the board have come under criticism for the way that contracts have been handled, business being done by close friends or family members. Do you have any concerns about this?
Before the current board was seated, many board members had friends, families, and people that did business with the district, and it wasn't a concern. There may have been a perception of impropriety until the investigation goes further. I can't say that there has been or hasn't been. But we do need to be transparent, we need to be accountable, and I look forward. I for one, had called way before the audit that we needed to do things differently in procurement. When the committee reads an RFP or RFQ and grades it, it needs to be done before a committee of more than one. In which an example of an MWBE weighted grade point on a particular RFP, RFQ. One person decided what that weighted point value should be. In this particular case, they gave the same point value to all the RFQs, 4. If you have a weighted point system and you give everybody a 4, then it's a mute point. And so I had called for a review of the way we tested and weighted the requirements of RFQs, and I look forward to the audits to see how our procurement department is doing.
Do you foresee the need for HISD, the board, to review or revise any of its own ethical rules, or do you foresee the need for the legislature to, give the board some direction?
I would like to see the legislature legislate by example. If they think that we are not doing enough at a school level for them to implement their own desires for their own elections, for their own processes, and then lead by example. You look at the state legislature, they can do business with anybody doing business with the state of Texas. That they can be consultants and make money by holding office. Here at the district, we can't do that. I'm not saying it should be. I'm just saying that we need to live by the same rule and code of ethics as all elected officials should.
And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to give you another term as trustee in District 3?
Well, again, I look at my record and I stand by my vote. I have always put the children first. Kids are the focus of my office. We have 5 brand new schools in District 3. One is an early childhood center. We have the first brand new relief school built in Houston, because District 3 is a growing district. It's a growing population. It is not one decline. And so Mitchell Elementary has right now a little over 1,100 students. James Deand Elementary is a relief school for Mitchell, in which 550 kids from Mitchell will be moving to Deanda in November. As I said earlier, we have 6 exemplary schools, 11 recognized schools, no academically unacceptable schools in middle school, elementary school, or in high school. I support my schools, I support my parents. I have been the champion for a workforce school. Currently, I am working with administration and HCC to see if we can put in a workforce high school over here on the Eastside campus. So that will give another option for our students to continue their education, be it secondary education, college entry, or to go into the workforce, but prepare them so that they have a skill for a meaningful job once they leave high school, not just retail or the food industry. Something that will give them a tangible skill that they can go out, use their brain, use their hands, and earn a wage where they can have a good living.
General Rodriguez, thank you very much for talking to me today.